Welcome to the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation Podcast with Steve Warren and the coach, Greg Kennedy.
Sails that one down and beating that one out to break it centering. Big shot, they score right off the hop. It's in the back of the net for Batherson and Ottawa with an early 1-0 lead.
Very nice start on Tuesday night. Yeah, DeBrincat to DeBatherson to open to scoring. It's TSN's Johnny Abbott with the call, but to no avail. The Sens go on to lose their sixth in a row. They give up four in the third, fall 6-4 to the Canucks on Tuesday night. Coming up, we'll talk about it. EJ Smith's full post-game press conference. He's looking like a guy who's got the weight of the world on him. You can see he is super disappointed right now. We'll talk about that. So Ryan Reynolds as well in town. He confirms he's going to be in the mix for Sens ownership and gets a standing ovation at the game. And Chris Neal's number 25 will be retired. All still ahead today here on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. Joined as always by the coach, Greg Kennedy. Greg, how are things today?
Fine, Steven. I'm still fighting the cold, but I'm going to persevere through it for the next 35, 40 minutes or so. I'm going to suck it up here. I'm good to go.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Let's jump into things. DJ Smith gave, and this will be a good, it's a number of things I want to talk about in his press conference. It's only, you know, 2-3 minutes here, but I want to play the whole thing because you really get a sense early on that he is a weary coach right now, weight of the world on him. I credit him big time for standing in there, given the circumstances and the hot seat that he's currently on. He's still in there answering the questions without biting anyone's head off. So here's a bit of his news conference last night.
I mean, it's the same song. You chance a team badly, could have probably scored 4 or 5 in the second period, and we didn't. And you got to stay with it. If you're going to get out of this, you got to stay with it. And we didn't stay with it long enough.
I think you kind of, that way you started the third period just turned out to be costly.
Yeah, for sure. You know, even if you turn it over, you just, you know, you got 5 guys inside, that doesn't happen. You know, in the way that we allowed it, in the way we came out, they did what they had to do. They stole the puck, threw it out front, but we got to be more desperate, in my opinion, to not allow that. And you got to just be not denied. And if you don't want to be denied, I then that's what it's going to take for us to win a game.
Power play looked a little better in the third once it got
going. Yeah, for sure. Wasn't great earlier than that. And, you know, third period, they had some movement. And they score a goal there. But, if you told me we were going to win the special teams, you'd think you'd win the game for all the chances that we had. And just, you know, we made some big mistakes that ended up on our net.
How did Bernard Docker look in your eyes?
Look real good. Look solid. Able to make plays, get pucks to the net. Clearly he'll stay in the lineup.
Didn't get the time in centimeters.
No, that's fair to say. But, I mean, Talby's been great. We should have limited them to chance, especially the third one.
Here's one thing he said there at the end, and we'll get into a lot of it. That's DJ Smith after the game last night. He said, clearly, Jacob Bernard Docker will stay in the lineup. And I thought to myself, well, there's nothing clear about that decision at all. Just based, Greg, on the way that DJ Smith has been deploying the guys on his blue line. I don't think there's anything clear that JBD would be in there. It's the right decision, but there's, and I'm sure he's using that as a crutch more than anything else. But to me, there's nothing clear about that decision at all. If he decided to yank JBD right back out of the lineup, despite a good performance, I don't think anybody would be surprised by that at this stage.
Yeah. You'd be surprised by it. If as a non-regular observer, you'd be surprised by it. But as one who's been around and watched every day and the Zaitsev sneaking in all the time, it just doesn't make sense. But I can tell you this. I know that at the skate today, Zaitsev was the 7th D. JBD was with Shabbat again, Hamannik and Sanderson, and Brännström was with Holden back in. So that was at least for the skate today anyway.
I'd say when you look at that game and the goals the Canucks scored, I don't know that Zaitsev was the biggest issue. I think he had a hand in the first goal where he's kind of rimming it off the glass and it ends up being intercepted before it gets out. And I would look at Hamannik. I would look at Brännström, some of the grievous errors that they made that led directly to goals. My point is Zaitsev wasn't your whipping boy from that game last night, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's a general problem down low. The Senators play essentially the three guys down low. They play a man to man hybrid sort of thing, right? The three down low are trying to play man to man, and that's all well and good. But if you aren't, you know, facing your man to begin with, if you aren't tying up a stick, if you aren't between your man and the puck, then problems arise. And you can see it. The first goal, guy all alone in front of the net. And in that case, it was the weak side winger comes into the zone. He's in the right spot, but he's facing south. He's looking behind the net at the puck, and somebody's standing right behind him wide open. You know, little things are going to happen. And it comes to the point of the story of willing and able. If you got a hockey player who is willing and able, then everything's gravy and you love the guy. If he's willing but not able, then you need to teach him and coach him up and make him more able. If he's able but not willing, then it becomes a psychological thing. I've now got to find the buttons to push to motivate this guy so that he's more willing to do what's required of him. And if he's not willing and he's not able, then he's playing in the American Hockey League. And with the Sens, it seems to be they've got a lot of guys who look like they're willing, but at times they look like they're just not able. And that, to me, is worrisome from a coaching standpoint. That how long has it been now and same sort of defensive zone mistakes are still happening. That comes down to coaching in my mind. You haven't found the right way to deliver the message or the right way to teach it, or something is missing in the conveyance of the messaging to the execution on the ice.
I like that. I like the willing and able angle on things. I'll go this way in that yesterday we had the U.S. midterm elections. You know, the standard battle between conservatives and liberals, in this case, of course, the GOP and the Democrats. And it's fairly, they're still counting, I think, at this stage of the game, but it looks fairly even. Right now, the Sens, they just need to get a little more conservative. They're just, right now, they don't have a defense-first mentality in their own zone, meaning like they're too focused on watching the puck instead of defensive coverage and what's happening around them. Meaning they're too anxious to break out of the zone before they have full possession of the puck. They're trying to force skill plays that just aren't there. And I would apply that to both ends of the rink, like glassing out once in a while instead of trying to force a pass that might get picked off and go the other way. And again, that's in both ends of the rink. You know, you're in the offensive zone. I'm seeing guys trying to shoehorn these low percentage passes to areas where they hope it'll get to and create a scoring opportunity, when really get conservative in some circumstances, learn to cut bait, you know, softly sort of put something behind the opponent's net and live to fight another day. That's where I think they're at right now. They need to move toward a more conservative. I know that's not as fun. It's not as wild, but every once in a while you need to realize, and this needs to be drummed home, that there's not always a play to be made. Sometimes the other team's going to take away whatever you have planned, and there's nothing you can do about it. The other team's an NHL team. They're filled with professionals, awesome hockey players. Sometimes they're going to take what you want to do away. So get more conservative is around to get here. Just get more conservative.
Yeah, and the other word that I think of is simplify. Like, let's just simplify, okay? Get it out, get it over, get it in. Simplify. And they don't seem, they don't adapt well to score. They don't react well to bad luck or to bad plays or whatever you want to call it. They don't seem to, they're up and down too much emotionally, I think. And you can see it within games. Things get away from them in a hurry and suddenly they're chasing. And last night was another example of only playing two periods. Like, really, they were the better team on the ice for two periods. No question about it. The score didn't show that, but they were the better team. And then a little bit of hardship came during the third period and they were just scrambling and there's just no adjustment. No, just absorb what has happened and turn the page and move on. And that just doesn't seem to happen. And you see it within a game, you see it sometimes within a period, you can see it within a shift sometimes, where they just don't seem to react well to a little bit of adversity. And I think that if you simplify everything, you can maybe eliminate that. I don't have the answers, but I just think, like you said, a more conservative approach, simplify your game, more focus on what needs to be done. If we're in our own zone, my primary focus is to get the puck back. So just focus on that. You know, focus on eliminating passing options for the puck carrier and focus on taking the puck away from the puck carrier. That's it. Don't be focused on where I'm going to race to when we get it or blowing the zone or chip and chase or whatever. Don't be thinking about the offensive side of it. Just focus on the defensive side. For now, eliminate the passing options and get the puck back. Through the neutral zone, that's your speed zone. That's your creation zone. Make something happen through the neutral zone. But if it doesn't happen, simplify, chip, chase, get a puck deep, whatever it takes. Get it behind them. That's all you need to do. Get it behind their guys and then go get it. Same thing in the offensive zone. Simplify. It sounds corny, but pucks to the net, people to the net, you know, cycle, a couple of cycles and then get it to the point and then go to the net. A couple of cycles and get it to the net, or a couple of cycles and get it to a high slot, something. A couple of cycles and a walkout. You know, just get it in deep, maintain possession as best you can, and work to get the puck to the net. Simple. Everything's got to be simplified.
For all the talk about Nikita Zaitsev, and he deserves a lot of the credit, the criticism that he receives, though maybe not as much as he receives. It's like way over the top now. Like I say, you look at the Brännström giveaway, that pretty much finished off the Sens. I mean, it was just a completely unforced giveaway in his own zone, and the puck is 2 seconds later in the Ottawa net. And Travis Hamonic, and this feels like a weird thing to say when he gets a rare goal, he had a dreadful game, I thought. I mean, totally flat-footed on the tying goal when it's 2-1. Then Hamonic, on the next goal, loses the battle behind the Ottawa net when it looked like he had time to do something. And this is more to the point that I had about, you know, making sure that you know what's going on around you. First, you had the confusion in front of the net that you got Batherson and Brassard out in front of the net after Hamonic loses that battle behind the Ottawa net. And Batherson and Brassard basically, you know, you're sometimes in a hallway and it's you and me. We're walking in different directions and we kind of move into each other's lane a bunch of times. It's like, oh, I'll just step around you and you move in the same direction. And then finally you go around. Well, that's what Batherson and Brassard looked like. They got their signals crossed. You got him, right? Okay, I'll get this guy. Oh, you don't have him. I better go back. And then then two guys are wide open in front of the net. And then meanwhile, you've got Sanderson peeling out for a D-to-D pass without the Sens having full possession of the puck. So it's just all kinds of things going on right now. And I agree with DJ Smith, and you alluded to it a little bit too. When you're in the midst of a 6-game losing slide, the third period comes around, adversity hits, you're immediately gripping the sticks. And that's with the kinds of mistakes we saw in that third period, that's kind of what it looked like.
And that's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
Like I'll generally speaking, if you look at a losing streak, 5 games or more, you can look, or a winless streak of 10 or something. You look at the first couple games, you probably won before it started. You probably won a couple you should have lost. Then comes the streak. And at the end of the streak, you probably lose a couple you should have won. Mm-hmm. So to me, last night is a game they probably should have won and could have won. So maybe they're on their way out of it. I don't know if that's really what's going to come or not. But last night to me was a game they could have and should have won. And they just ended up losing it because it's kind of the way things are going right now. The first two periods was enough to tell me that, all right, yeah, they're going to be okay. They're going to turn the page. They're going to get through this. And then to come out and have that third period, my God. Wow. Yeah.
And they kept coming back. They fall behind by two. Yeah. And then you get the great goal by Stützle, and a nice passing play with DeBrincat, and just a gorgeous goal. And then you have another big, bad giveaway. And then Claude Giroux gets a goal to draw back within one. And it was really, really frustrating. And in fact, to see Claude Giroux, I don't know if you saw when the TSN camera was trained on Giroux on the bench right at the end of the game. I don't know if I've seen a more furious looking player on a bench before. Like, just seething. He was so furious. More than we just lost a game, or more than we just lost our sixth straight game. That looks like a guy that was absolutely furious with somebody or something almost like this is total BS right now. So maybe he's feeling a little bit like the average Sens fan is right now, kind of disgusted by the whole process right now.
It was clearly beyond frustration. It wasn't just frustration. There was some anger there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm looking at it from a fan point of view. After last night's game, or your assessment of last night's game, I'm not frustrated. I think it's more, the word to me is disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in them. You know, there's a level of frustration, but to me, the stronger emotion, I guess, if you want to call it, disappointment, I guess, is an emotion. But I'm more disappointed than anything. I'm thinking, right. Guys, you've been given a lot here. You've got these high-end players now. You've got good goaltending now, or better goaltending now. You've got more going on here, and you just keep disappointing us. And that sucks. Disappointment to me is worse than frustration.
Yeah, and I hate that, because I think back to my dad, who was one of the most low-key guy. Like, he was just so cool all the time, and he was great. Every once in a while, he'd holler about this or that when we were being little jerks. But the thing that always got me was that word, I'm disappointed in you, son. You know, it would be calm. He'd say it like that, and that was like a dagger through my heart. So when you say it like that, I'm like, oh.
That's the way you – it's like I'm watching my kids, and I'm just – they've done something and I'm disappointed in them. You know, it brings in a matter of respect. I almost feel disrespected that, you know, I don't have season tickets, so I can't harp on that part of it.
Right.
But there are people who do, and they've paid their money, and it's almost like you're disrespecting them. Disappointment on the edge of disrespect. Now, this is a real thesaurus English class here today, but I think that if you sat down with a cross section of fans who are paying their money and watching this, I think that if you agreed on definitions of frustration and disappointment, many, many more of them would say they're disappointed to the point of, I feel disrespected that I'm back here and they're not giving me what I should be getting for it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm there, but I mean, I get what you're saying. I just feel like I would only be disappointed and feel disrespected if I didn't think the players were just laying out. I do think they're really trying, and just right now it's just nothing is working to get them to the W that they so desperately want right now. That would be the only thing that would make me truly feel disappointed or disrespected, if they were just mailing it in, and I'm not seeing that at this stage. There are some better bits of news to talk about, in that ownership has a very interesting name. We talked about it in the last episode. It was kind of a report at that stage. Ryan Reynolds, well, he's made it pretty damn clear he is very much interested in buying the Ottawa Senators, and I don't know if I can call him a legend, but if you get your number retired by the team, I'm pretty sure you're a legend. We'll talk about all that coming up and the trivia after these words.
Jim K. Ford Lincoln is turning 40, and to celebrate, they're giving you a gift. It's Truck Days, and to thank you for 40 years of support, Jim K. is offering up to $3,000 in factory order rebates. No matter what it is you have to do, make, move, or create, there's a Ford truck built for you. Come celebrate four decades of Jim K. by ordering your brand new Maverick, Ranger, or F-150 your way. Secure your order today. Get started at JimKFord.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
And here's something else interesting. Did you know Ottawa's very own Dunrobin Distilleries has been winning prestigious awards internationally for their spirits? It's true. The gins won the gold and silver earlier this year out of the UK, and their whiskey came in second place as the best Canadian whiskey in the country. You should pick up some Dunrobin spirits today at various LCBO locations across the province, or buy directly from their website, dunrobindistilleries.com. So Ryan Reynolds, on Monday night, was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and old Jimmy asked about the Ottawa Senators.
So there's a rumor going around that you may be interested in buying an NHL professional hockey team, the Ottawa Senators.
The Ottawa Senators? Yes, that
is a Canadian team.
Yeah, that is an NHL team, the Ottawa Senators. I am trying to do that. It's a very expensive. So, you know,
yeah,
I need...
It's not like
I need
a,
Yeah. Yeah, I need a partner with, you know, really deep pockets. you know, much bigger. That's it's called a consortium. Mm-hmm. When you form a group together to buy an entity. And I just it's such a fancy way of saying I need a sugar mommy or a sugar daddy.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. But you do need one, yeah.
Yeah. And if that doesn't work out, I'll buy a US senator, which anyone can afford. You know. That's kind of a sort of key there.
Wait till Wednesday, yeah.
But I love Ottawa. I grew up in Vancouver, which has my heart always. But I also grew up in Ottawa, Canada. So I spent a long time in Vanier there, which is a little town right inside Ottawa.
And hockey is just part of the system when you grow up. That's part of your blood.
It's sad. It's scary. But children are eased out of the womb in ice skates in Canada. I mean, that's how
they are.
They're ready to go. Yeah, NHL ready by the time they're four.
So that sound, he's joking around in there, of course, Greg. But that's quite clearly a guy who is very much interested in buying the Ottawa Senators. And, he took it to a whole new level on Tuesday night. He's a Vancouver guy. His Canucks were in town, but he's also a Vanier guy. So he arrived in town yesterday to actually watch the Sens lose their sixth in a row, but clearly was cheering for the Ottawa Senators. Didn't get interviewed by anyone, but they did introduce him to the crowd, and they went pretty much bonkers. So Ryan Reynolds, I think it's safe to say, Greg, is all in on the idea anyway of maybe buying the Ottawa Senators.
And it's awesome. I think it's awesome. He obviously doesn't have the money to be the main man, but I'm thinking any one of those groups, you want Alfie and you want Ryan Reynolds. And I hope that these guys don't hitch their wagon to one of the groups and then another group gets it. If I'm Alfie and I'm Ryan Reynolds, I'm just waiting it out. I'll see who wins and say, hey, if I'm Ryan Reynolds, you know, here's my 10% and I'm in. And Alfie's like, okay, what job do you want me to do? Both those guys need to be involved in whatever group wins, not just in a group that bids, but whatever group wins. The whole Ryan Reynolds thing would be so cool to have that. Like, that's a whole other world that he's going to bring in. From a marketing standpoint, from all kinds of things that he can be doing in the public, it's a win-win.
Yeah, he wouldn't be the majority owner of any situation, but he would, no matter what, be the face of the ownership, right? And I think about the marketing angle to it, right? The fun that he's going to have marketing this thing. He's got aviation gin. He's got a mobile phone company. I'm sure he's not the majority owner in those either, but he is an owner, and the marketing thing is great. It's an A-list celebrity. And I think about what a contrast to the negativity that surrounded the previous ownership, to the point where the fan base was putting up billboards that said Melnick out. And now, I mean, you're almost going to need a decompression chamber to go from that ownership almost immediately into the Ryan Reynolds ownership, where he's going to go at things from a fun standpoint. He's so well liked. Just across the board, it's a win. Like, you think about, suddenly people are going to be talking about the Ottawa Senators in a bigger way, not just in Ottawa, but all over North America. He's a household name in North America. Very much. I would liken it to the Gretzky situation in LA. What were the LA Kings until Gretzky arrived there? He was a hockey player, of course, and made the team directly better, but the celebrity factor put the Kings on the map. Suddenly all these celebrities were showing up and more fans were showing up at LA Kings games. Even when we talk about what Ryan Reynolds has done for that Welsh soccer team that he bought, he and another actor bought Wrexham, I don't know, FC or something like that. I didn't know the name Wrexham, and now I do. So maybe even the city of Ottawa should be in there encouraging things from a tourism standpoint that this guy get involved. It's a win across the board.
And you got to believe that he would be slipping in references to the Ottawa Senators in movies or in any appearance he has on a talk show. It's word of mouth. Did you see last night the little thing they put up with the Senator logo? But it was the red mask and the black eyes. It was Deadpool.
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. It was the profile of the Sen and the logo, except it was Deadpool with the helmet on and everything. That's cool. Like, there's just all kinds of things that they can be doing. And he has to be involved. He wants to be involved. So it shouldn't be all that difficult to make it happen for whatever group it ends up being. It's awesome. Like, yeah. And he showed up at the game, which kind of surprised me. I mean, I knew he was interested. We all knew that. But after I'd seen that he was on the Tonight Show, here he is the very next night. So he must have hopped on a plane and flown to Ottawa to be there for it. And I'm now thinking, you know, his Twitter handle is Van City, right? Or at Van City or something like that. So I think maybe it's not just Vancouver. It's also Vanier. Maybe that's a dual thing that we never knew about.
Yes, it could absolutely apply to both angles for sure. I have a feeling it doesn't, though. I have a feeling it's Coover. I can fill him with Coover.
I don't know,
then.
But he spoke of it. He did speak of it. He said Vanier, it's a little city within the city of Ottawa.
Yeah.
He's describing it far better than most people who live here would describe Vanier.
Yeah. Yep. That's where I was born. I was born in Vanier. I'm thinking it could be Van Wilder, one of his movies as well, but I'm pretty sure it's Vancouver.
Yeah.
So Bruce Garriott tweeted out yesterday that this sports banker that the Sens are working with, that there are like a wild number. Well, the word he used was a countless number of possible bidders for the franchise. I think countless would be a bit of a stretch, but could be your standard case of the Sens wanting to get something out there that that helps the bidding process and the price tag along a little bit. But I would say that whether it's countless or not, I would say that it would behoove anybody who might win this bid, whether it's Ryan Reynolds' group or not, to ask Ryan Reynolds if he wants to be involved in their group. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I get the feeling from listening to him speak, though, it sounded more like he's looking for big pocket people to join him, mm-hmm. as opposed to pursuing the big pocket people who are already out there and saying, hey, can I join you? So I just, either way, it's got to happen one way or another. Make it happen, people.
It was funny watching him get the standing ovation from the fans. It got to a point in the ovation where he's like, okay, that's good. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's enough.
I mean, he's not the owner yet. You had the players on the bench.
I think sticks and everything all stood up.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time athletes within a major sporting event got up and gave a standing ovation to a guy who's just all he's done is express his interest. He hasn't become the owner yet exactly, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
It was and now you're you got Brady Tkachuk, who's now 1 degree of separation away from what appears to be his idol in Will Ferrell, because Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds have a Christmas movie and they're coming out shortly, and they're very good friends as well. But moving on, Chris Neal. Gotta love old Nealer. He gets his number 25 retired. That'll be coming up in February at a special ceremony. So Chris Phillips on a nice video where he comes in and says, welcome to the club, buddy. And they even did a neat thing where I don't think Chris Neal knew as he was reading the teleprompter, as he was doing some video for, I guess, a game later in the season. That, hey, Sens fans, coming up in February, we're going to honor the 30th anniversary of our team. And as he's reading, he finds out that he's going to get his number 25 retired as kind of part of the 30th anniversary celebrations, I guess. And then his family kind of leaks into the room. So Dean and Gord come in. I thought that was pretty well done. And old Nealer doesn't get emotional too often, but he was shedding a tear seeing that.
It choked him up. That's for sure, Steve. It's great. I'm kind of torn on number retirements generally and making sure it's people who are deserving of it. But I think one of the things that definitely is deserving is that you spent a long time with a franchise. And I don't think that stats matter as much when it comes to guys like that. Like if you played somewhere for 6 years and you racked up 800 points while you were there, then that's worthy, right? But if you don't have a lot of points, but you played somewhere for 15, 20 years, then that's really worthy. You know, I think of the Ken Danico situation in New Jersey. I mean, the guy was a New Jersey Devil he for so long and identified with that group, and the fans loved him. So, yeah, they retired his number. It's the same thing here with Chris Neal. It's great. It's I don't want to say overdue. It's probably just about the right time, isn't it? Get another jersey up there, and it's a well-deserving guy and a good community guy. He stuck around, and he loves it here, and the people love him. And he's one of the few that the younger generation kids who didn't even see him play relate to. and would know him and know his name. It's perfect. It's perfect timing.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because when you get a number retirement, there's often the discussion comes up next of what about Hockey Hall of Fame? And this is one of those need not apply deals. But what Chris Neal meant to the city of Ottawa and the Sens fans here, I think, is just unique. And Danico is a great example. It's exactly the same scenario as we saw in New Jersey with Danico. I mean, Chris Neal, what he delivered here, he was so popular with the fan base. He brought energy to every game. He was always taking up for teammates. I mean, his final game in the NHL, you know, obviously he and Guy Boucher did not see eye to eye, but his final game in the NHL was doing what he always did, taking up for teammates, changing the momentum of games. I know there'll be people who are saying, okay, you're talking about that Ranger playoff game, Steve, and he played 2 minutes, simmer down. But no one to my death day will ever convince me that Chris Neal's abusive, was it 10 or glass, I guess, that did not turn that series around. Everybody on that Sens bench was 3 inches taller and 40 pounds more muscle on them for him doing that. And then everything he's done in the community before, during, and after his Sens career. I mean, I guess he didn't do much before. I guess that's a bad take on thing. But you know what I meant. So across the board, I agree with it completely. All right, to close it out today, a little Sens trivia. It's brought to you by Kodiak Security Systems. Greg, you're going to have 10 seconds to answer today's trivia question. If you do, I will disarm the Kodiak security alarm. If you fail, the alarm goes off and you lose, and the listeners and I mock you until our throats are sore. And our question has to do today with the aforementioned Chris Neal. Our question is, of course, Neal is the all-time leader in Sens penalty minutes. That much is clear. But he never got to 250 penalty minutes. Three other Ottawa Senators did in a season.
Three.
Can you name two of the three? Go.
Wow. Denny Lambert?
Correct.
Denny Vial?
Correct.
Mike Peluso?
Correct. 3 for 3. Well done. Well done.
See, baby.
I made it easier. Made it easier today.
Wow.
So, yes. Peluso is the all-time, single season leader with 318, and the other two were up over 250 penalty minutes. And that's our Sens trivia for today for Kodiak Security Systems. Keeping your home and business safe and secure in Ottawa for the last 40 years. All of Kodiak Systems come with a complete warranty, and their friendly technicians are just the best. Not hired contractors, they're all Kodiak employees who understand the systems completely and the highest standards of installation. So switch your monitoring to Kodiak Security today and get 3 months of monitoring absolutely free. KodiakSecurity.ca. They're at 2801 Riverside Drive. And tell them the good folks, Steve and Greg, at the Sens Nation Hockey Podcast sent you. With that, we'll take our
leave. There's a bear in there.
No, see? Shh. You know what? All right. That scared me. It startled me a little bit, the bear. Anyway, we'll call it quits right there. Sens back in action on Thursday night as they take on the New Jersey Devils. No rest for the wicked. The Devils are not your father's Devils. Don't forget our website is SensNationHockey.com. Thank you very much to everybody listening in on CJRO this week in the East End of Ottawa. Thanks to everybody who's been giving us some good feedback on Lake 88 in Perth. I'm appearing now Tuesday mornings at 8:15 if you want to check that out with Dave White, the morning guy there. So lots going on in Sens Nation. Enjoy your day, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Talk soon.
Thanks for being with us on the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and review. Share the show with your friends and followers, or become a member on Patreon. Check out our website today at SensNationHockey.com.